Y'all know what time it is. It's time for the Shaw's Law Podcast. You know who I am and what I do. Rob Shaw, a.k.a. the Pod God, a.k.a. Harry Potter. And today we are here talking Detroit Pistons. And who better but like an expert? Like, we only bringing in the best of the best.
Appreciate.
All right, so first things first.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at Hill Joan. Pistons tweets, progressive liberal tweets, maybe some wrestling in there a little bit, but mostly jokes, lifelong Pistons fan, and just, you know, thankful for the opportunity to be on.
And you got to deal with a supermarket? What's up with you? Like, you got the supermarket tagged in your bio, so I need to know, are they cutting a check?
Hey, man, they're cutting a check. Yeah, they are. They are. When I was down in Houston, I was working advertising sales for like 5 years. And HEB, like when the hurricane hit us, HEB was the only thing open. So we were on the freeway and I went through and I got a Stein. And we were out there with like our boots on, our raincoats, and just like getting on I-10 and trying to save people from going the wrong way on the freeway. Like, it wasn't a hurricane. It just came through. So HEB, like, I'm like, man, HEB was the only thing open. The Walmart wasn't. So I just got to stand by the brand. And they wrote me some nice checks. So if you're in the Houston, Texas, greater area overall, check out HEB.
Bet. All right. What is your history with the Detroit Pistons?
Yeah, man. Over the past couple of years, it's been just kind of getting league pass and stuff and just watching. You know, we've haven't drafted really high in the years prior. You know, so this year, making sure that, you know, the direction, the franchise had a direction. So I've been a sad Pistons fan really since they traded Chauncey. I love AI. The TGI Fridays used to always be lit. I still got an AI jersey. They always flame me for it. But, you know, really my earliest memories of watching the Pistons was like 93, 94. Like, I was a big Allen Houston fan, Lindsey Hunter, Grant Hill. And every once in a while, like, I'm a copywriter, so every once in a while I try to write a commercial. But yeah, that's my home squad. I know I wear a lot of jerseys and stuff like that, but that's definitely home team.
All right, so you brought up some classic names. I'm from New York, so hey. I knew Allen Houston played for the Pistons, but like in my mind he's only been a Knick. So like you saying that, like, it really did have to, oh chill, I forgot about that.
Hey, bro, you know what's crazy about that? I'll tell you the story how he got to the Knicks because it burns me up inside. So he was like in year three, and it was a summer of 96, and Dikembe Mutombo was a free agent. And the Pistons were looking to, like, pair him with Grant Hill. And, like, this is – I want to say that Allen Houston team was the team that Detroit went 54-28 with. So Doug Collins, Joe Dumars playing the point, Lindsey Hunter there. And it came time for Allen to get his contract. So Allen was getting married that summer too. And basically you pay your free agents not to go look. So they gave him $26 million and that offer kind of sat there. And then New York just doubled that $52 million and he signed. And it was kind of crazy because I read somewhere, you know, now I'm pretty sure water's under the bridge, but they tried to, and I guess Allen tried to invite some of his Detroit teammates to the wedding and they kind of might've felt some type of way. But when you talk about one of the best jump shots ever, like, I'm a 99 Knicks fan forever, just off that. And, you know, no better person to hit that on than Dan Majerle and stuff. But, yeah, definitely.
I hope it is water under the bridge because the difference between $10 in your pocket and $20 in your pocket is crazy. So the difference between $26 million and $52 million is nuts. Like, y'all got to understand.
Yeah, and they got to understand that, too. I mean, it's, you know, you rarely see – I feel like the league was just so different back then. Like, you rarely see, you know, teams that, like, let go of, like, their, like, players that are drafted on a rookie contract.
Well, I don't even think that the situation you just described could never happen today. They would – oh, you want to look around after year three? Restricted free agency. You do whatever you want. We'll match it. Whatever you can get on the open market, we'll match it. But that was before that was in the CBA.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of those like things were written into like that 99 lockout CBA. And we had to wait. I mean, I literally, as a kid, saw Grant Hill be like this superstar player that I don't really think Pistons fans in the city really appreciated. I mean, everybody had the feelies, but like just on a, I think, you know, it really stands to like the test of time with these players that are in these small markets that we just place so much pressure on them. I mean, case in point, the Teal era to me was my childhood. I grew up in it. You know, we might have lost for like half of it. But, you know, it's something that older Pistons fans won't even speak of because those memories in their mind of Grant Hill and all that stuff were just so tainted. So I had to wait really until nobody really thought that Ben Wallace was going to be what he was in that trade. And I remember just like looking at NBA Live being like, man, I'm gonna need to trade Kevin Garnett to the Pistons, bro. This is not going to work. But yeah, the league
we're
is
talking
definitely
about a
now.
Top five undrafted player, probably in Ben Wallace.
Top five. Man, that is when you talk about Detroit basketball and what that means and just players that he influenced. He made defense really cool, man. He made, you know, throwing the ball into the stands. Like he made that. He made grabbing rebounds with two hands. Like, I mean, we had Rodman, but like Ben was quiet, man. That was, you know, in those early years. It was just him and Stackhouse. So it's him, Stackhouse, Cliff Robinson. You know, maybe you might get a Corliss Williamson in there.
Big Nasty.
Big Nasty. Oh, man.
But elite nickname, by the way. Elite nickname.
Bro, we will never see another, like, 6'6" dude not have to have a jump shot.
Until Zion. Like, but like Zion. No, but Zion is like Zion, Barkley, Williamson. Like those guys are in a certain mold where the power and strength like just allows them to get away with things other dudes that size can't get away with.
Exactly. That's that weight, man. And one thing I love about Big Nasty is like I played post when I was growing up. So shoulder moves, reverse pivots, up and under. You know, you really started to kind of see that team be in shape as like Joe D took over like the reins and stuff. And, you know, now – we look at what Troy Weaver is doing today and, you know, it takes so long for Black executives to like get their shine in the league. And I think Weaver was passed up by a couple of teams. I don't even think really Chicago even looked his way, but what we see in the, like right now, so Luka Garza, Washington DC kid has ties to Troy Weaver. Same Suns played on the same AAU team. A lot of this stuff today with these players is like all relationships. You know, it's about, it's you know, you have a staff to look at your cap and, you know, you obviously what's going on in Minnesota is, you know, you want to be kind to your staff. But I was so surprised that Troy Weaver was like still out there on the market and he's turned this roster over in ways that like you could not even imagine.
All right. So you called it the Teal era.
Yeah.
I saw this the other day and it's just been in the back of my mind since. I was like, oh, when I get on the pod, I got to bring this up. The downgrade in the logo.
Come on, man.
Is heartbreaking. Like, so I saw the meme and I had never noticed it. And I was just like, oh, this is disgusting because that was a top tier logo with the horse and the actual Pistons on it. Like, and then the teal is a color that really pops. Because like it worked in Memphis when Memphis had the teal ones. Like it's just not quite your teal, but like that shade of bluish green just looks good on NBA hardwood.
Yeah, I mean, look at what culture was at the time. This is like 88 through like 93. So like every McDonald's or like Taco Bell cup had that teal on it. So Charlotte did it. And the Pistons, everybody's like, you know, Big Sean's creative director, you know, and what are we gonna do? I think Jersey licensing takes about 2 years to kind of change. But, you know, one, the Pistons, if I'm a franchise and I don't have a player that's going to drive my jersey sales, you know, I would have more incentive if I drafted a Cade Cunningham to put us in teal. But the counterpoint for fans is like, you know, we lost during those times. Like, why would we want to see those jerseys? Did Brian Reeves and like Greg Anthony and Antonio Harvey win anything in Vancouver? No, it didn't. But Memphis still wears those jerseys. Did Toronto win anything? No, they still wear their jerseys. So I think being able to like identify with the culture is a number one thing. And that's like when I wrote a commercial for the Pistons a while back called We Promise Detroit. And that was kind of like the gist of it from the Malice in the Palace to, you know, you look at that franchise, that's one of the top four or five franchises in the game, like recognizable icons.
I'm so glad you said that. I'm so glad because my next question is, you referred to the Pistons as a small market.
Yeah. By TV standards, Detroit is what, like top 14 and stuff. So it's like a mid-sized market, but like for basketball, after that, that Palace and the Malice, like that, you know, that put a scar on that franchise and that city to where I feel like they weren't being highlighted as much. They weren't like the Bulls, Celtics, Lakers, and they should be in that conversation.
Is there, so my next question is there a small market team that has a history as rich as Detroit? Like you have the Bad Boys. By the way, the Bad Boys hat you're wearing in your Twitter icon is Fuego. Oh my God, that hat is tough.
Thank you, bro.
But like, so you have the Bad Boys. And then last time I did a Detroit Pistons pod, what do you guys call the Billups teams? They had a name as well.
Going to work teams.
Going to work. That is actually what he called. That is what Christian from Piston Standards told me, that they're called the going to work. So you have the going to work. The Bad Boys is probably the second most iconic basketball name outside of Showtime, maybe. I guess if you want to say the Heat's big three or the Heatles.
But the Heatles, like, it's Miami Vice.
But like, is there a smaller mid-market size team that has a history as rich as you guys?
Not really. I would say, you know, if we're just looking at TV markets, I'm a big advertising guy, TV markets, Atlanta and Milwaukee would be like the only, no, sorry, not Atlanta, Miami and Milwaukee would be the only one. I would consider Miami to be a not huge market, but like, how are you going to say no to the beach and Pat Riley?
Yeah, larger than Detroit, yes.
Larger than Detroit, yeah. So like, I like that, but like, you know, it just goes back to what you said. Like, that's an iconic franchise. And that logo is underwhelming to me because from a color scheme, like, I know the guy that did the Pistons logo. He did a whole bunch of other logos. His name is GamePlan_Shy on Twitter. He's a low-key guy that runs his agency. And I don't really like where uniforms are going these days. These logos are so simplistic. You know, everything was Big Bird, Big Horse, Big This, Big That. But the red, white, and blue scheme, color scheme, is just so overused in the NBA. There are only a few teams that should have like red, white, and blue. Philadelphia and DC. And I know this is people going, but you know, if I'm the Pistons, they try to do a lot with that black and gray, that silver and gray. They've been kind of playing with the Motor City, like alternate jerseys. But I do think that Cade has like infused a lot of thunder into this franchise, and we will see some better Nike products from them.
All right. So about the, I think the small, the simplisticness of the logos is now that the NBA is moving towards that model that the WNBA has been using for a few years, where a simplistic small logo allows you to put more ads on the back of the jersey or the front of the jersey. It's, I guess it's actually the European soccer model as opposed to the WNBA model. But I do think that is why we are seeing some of the very simplistic logos. And I do think it hurts from a marketability standpoint. Like, I'm not a huge jersey guy, but like, if I was going out to buy a jersey, it would need to be Flames.
I'm glad you said that, because I was talking to somebody who runs like an online shop, and I was like, man, with the way player movement is today, I have no incentive to buy a new jersey. Like, unless it's a rookie or like a Kevin Durant or like a LeBron, Kyrie could be out of here. You just never know. So I totally agree. And you know, the revenue streams is, you know, I like to see partnerships that make sense, you know, that are pushing like the envelope and stuff. The Lakers just got a worldwide sponsor. I mean, Philadelphia is doing crypto.com. The Pistons have United Healthcare. But yeah, it does leave a lot to be desired.
All right, let's get into this year's Pistons. But man, that was a fun conversation about like the other side of hoops. I love that kind of stuff.
Hey, me too, bro. Me too, bro.
All right. 20-52 last year for a 277 win percentage. Better or worse on the spot?
Worse, but it had a purpose. It had a purpose because, like, man, years after draft, we drafted 7 or 8 for like a good 5 years. And Greg, I love Greg Monroe when he played there, but Greg Monroe, you know, at that 7 position, you want to get a little bit in that top 3. And we picked Killian last year. So I was glad that there was a direction with the franchise. We got rid of Blake. let the young guys play, because like some Pistons fans are like, I can't stomach another losing season. Let me be honest. I love my city to death, man. But like free agent wise, unless you build something, only way you are building a team is through the draft. So I like where we finished that.
All right. So my loyal listeners would kill me if I didn't let you know, I always hated Greg Monroe. Like they'd be like, oh man, you got on the pod and somebody said they love Greg Monroe and you ain't tell them how you really felt. So I got to, like, he just never did anything for me.
Man, y'all should have had a Moose. Moose is a good 15 and 10, man. But just, that's the thing. You just, like, players be out the league for, like, whatever. And the game really changed. The game really passed him by. Like, him and Roy Hibbert, boy.
Oh, Jahlil Okafor is cursing his parents out daily, saying, if y'all would have had me 15 years earlier, you know how big this house could be?
We had, like, three of these joints.
Ugh. All right, so additions, obviously Cade Cunningham.
Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk, Trey Lyles, and Luka Garza. Like, this is a nice offseason. You got arguably the two best players in college basketball.
Thank you.
Like, I know that Garza doesn't project to be the superstar in the NBA that he was in college, but that doesn't, like, him and Cade were probably the best two players in college basketball last season.
Absolutely. I mean, I sat next to his dad, Frank, at Summer League and stuff. We just chatted up a little bit. And, I mean, as soon as he was ecstatic to be drafted by the Pistons, I think he lost about 50 pounds. He's swimming every day. You know, feet work has to get a little bit quicker on that. And I think in Iowa, they just fed guys to him and he just blocked it. But he was really, really underrated in Summer League. And he's one of those players where he's on that two-way contract. He's going to spend some time with the Motor City Crews, the new G League team. But I will bet that he would see some minutes there because, you know, I'm happy to have Kelly Olynyk. He had a pretty good season, you know, to end with the Rockets. I think about 18 points, about like over like six rebounds, like three or four assists. Still haven't forgave him for like breaking someone's shoulder with the Celtics a couple years ago.
Was that D-Wade?
It was somebody. It was another. It was like, I forgot who he dislocated.
Somebody's shoulder. I do remember this.
I was like, damn. I mean, if he on my squad, then we got to deal with that, you know, at the end. But like him, I'm going to say this, and every Piston fan that sees this is probably going to know, man, we're not too fond of Trey Lyles. So that's coming from, like, from my mouth. He need to apologize for what he said about the city. He said, I think he was playing with Utah or San Antonio, and he was like, man, nobody want to go to this shithole city. And he was talking about, like, Detroit, Indiana. And, you know, he on that player option, bro. So he could be used as trade fodder, man. So, hey, man, don't – hey, as Jalen Green, man, we don't take too kindly to people talking about the D.
All right, well, Jalen Green was legitimately hurt. Like, Jalen Green wanted to be the number one pick. And if Trey Lyles said that when he was in Utah, y'all should have just laughed. Like, just send the crying emojis. Like, come on, dog.
Hey, bro, in Utah, you can't even buy liquor on the weekend, like, man. Come on, like,
you're in the Mormon state. You got to chill. Don't try and talk crazy to us.
Who is your barber, man? Like, you got to get a barber. You got to get your hair cut on the road, man, because it's Utah.
You got to get your hair cut on the road is wild.
Bro, like, we know what it is.
Not Trey Lyles sending out the, yo, I'm in your city, send me the elite barbers. Not damn. That tweet flying off.
Hey, bro, that's the thing, man. Boy put a bounty on it, say, any barber that cut him in D, skit him. No, we playing. That's all I love. You a Piston. You're a Piston, man. Even Blake Griffin, bro. Like, man, I cheered for Blake Griffin over the past couple seasons. And, you know, he gave us one of the greatest seasons ever, all NBA. That man really did give a leg for us. So, you know.
When he played hurt versus Milwaukee, he was really out there dumping on one leg.
My man tried to bully Giannis, and he was.
All right. Your subtractions were Wayne Ellington and Jahlil Okafor. And shout out to the front office. How y'all got off that Mason Plumlee contract so quickly? Nah, man, that's worth your salary right there. Because when you signed him last year, I was cutting that ass. I couldn't get enough laughs. But for you guys, man, that moved him one season later, I got to shut up. I got to wear it. Like,
hey,
what do I know?
I'm glad Charlotte's a buyer's team. You know, and side note, Michael Jordan got Kelly Oubre, Terry Rozier, Miles Bridges, LaMelo on a squad. That is just a funny situation. But my Mason Plumlee is a really good vet. I didn't like the number. I didn't like that we signed like 50 centers. Mm-hmm. He can't shoot. I mean, he got the little thing where the hand go,
blocks,
you know,
the ball.
But yeah, lock the ball, but he can pass it. And I think last year, you know, Isaiah Stewart didn't start until later in the season, but having Plumlee there, good passer, you know, the sets that Casey runs is a lot of like handoffs, like, you know, the big will come to like the top. It'll be dribbled.
A lot of DHOs. Yeah.
A lot of DHOs and Plumlee could do some stuff. I think in one play, he had a little flip with a ball and did that, but you know, glad. And then also too, seeing Sekou Doumbouya go, you know, sad, man, because that was the lottery pick that we used. That was when
Ed Brooklyn.
We don't know, man. Brooklyn might cut him. And, you know, it's just, he wasn't seeing that time. You know, you got Josh Jackson ahead of him. You had Diallo ahead of him. So I hope that he finds his place in the league. And, yeah, that was a pretty good summer for us.
And I agree with your Mason Plumlee take. I'm definitely making more fun of the number than the actual player.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, bro.
All right. What does year two of Killian Hayes look like?
Yeah. You know, I think that having John Beilein on that staff is like, you know, the greatest thing ever. And, you know, he, you know, had his situation there in Cleveland and stuff, but I think he is more at home as a developmental coach. And I think for Killian, you know, it's really about, I mean, he's an elite passer. He averaged like 5.3 assists in like 28 minutes, and he just turned 20. He had a strong defensive showing in summer league and stuff, but I feel like there were still questions about his ability to be able to finish with that right hand and his ability to be able to shoot. And I think that that is probably going to be, you know, where do you play Cade at? You know, if you play Cade at like the two, and we'll talk about Cade and why that would, you know, having Cade and Killian in the backcourt early is, you know, maybe it's a good start, but maybe there might be some other selections. But, you know, the hesitancy, like offensively with the decision-making and stuff, that is one of the things that like I want to see him improve on. And he's going to have reps to be able to do that.
So Killian was very high on my draft board last year. Like I was in love.
Yeah.
I'm also a big Ringer guy, and Kevin O'Connor was in love.
Okay.
So, like, some of that influence may be that. Like, I'm an admitted big Ringer guy. But I like the size. I like the craftiness, the lefty. Like, I still have a large portion of my Killian Hayes stock.
Hey, keep it, bro.
Cade and Hayes together is very intriguing to me. If Cade is who they think he is and Hayes develops the way that I believe he can, that's the makings of a very fun young backcourt. You have dual ball handlers. It's not like Killian Hayes is a tiny guy. What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
He's 6'5", and that boy is strong, man. So
6'5", and then 6'7", Cade. Like, now you have a jumbo-sized backcourt. And that can make up for some of the lack of size in the front court. Like, Isaiah Stewart is a good NBA player. Isaiah Stewart is a 6'8", 6'9" post.
Yeah, he's
but if you have two giant guards, it makes those things a little bit easier, that pill a little bit easier to swallow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, one of the things that it's going to take time to see what type of athlete they both develop into and stuff. And I think it's summer league, where they really struggled. Kay really didn't have like a high assist rate because he had to be a little bit more aggressive with shooting the ball and stuff too. And, you know, Killian, they didn't play him for the shot and stuff, but, you know, having to get into lanes, you're going to have to find him a shot. He's good with finishing with his left. He's strong. He can shoot the free throw really well, but like lack of athleticism from both of them is my concern about that backcourt because Cade isn't like overtly explosive. You know, he beats his guys with space, shoulders. You know, he is, I want to say he is, he's vegan. He's vegan. So, you know, he's 225. He's a big guy and stuff, but, you know, that explosiveness, you know, I think that might be something that you have options there. You know, you can play Sadiq Bey as shooting guard. You can try Josh Jackson, Diallo is, you know, we brought him back on a 2-year, $10.5 million.
Hami.
Love him. I love you. I love Hami, man. And I think you could do a lot of things there, but you're certainly right. Having a big backcourt, K rebounds the ball, Killian rebounds the ball, Sadiq Bey rebounds the ball, and then you got the Army Swiss knife and Jeremy Grant. So it's just really about, you know, what Casey are. They're going to be great defensively. You just know that about a Casey team. But offensively, I think that, you know, if you got Killian with that ball, he's bringing it up. You have Cade come off some, like, DHOs, and, like, Cade have a corner, that left corner, how he likes to operate in. You know, you're going to need Killian to be able to attack that rim aggressively. So I do believe it can work.
All right. So the thing, something you said about Cade has always been why I hated the Grant Hill comparison. The lack of athleticism. And it's not that he's a bad athlete. He's an average NBA athlete, I would say. Like, you'll see him, like, do some cool dunks, but almost everybody at that level can do those dunks. He's just an average NBA athlete, so I always hated the Grant Hill comparison. Who I do think he favors is Brandon Roy.
That's a really good – you know, I'll speak to that Grant Hill one. When people say Grant Hill, you know, that to me, because Grant was one athletic, quick, first – you know, that he used to get Scotty – he used to have Scotty number on that first step. Alonzo Mourning can tell you about that. I think from a 6'8" guy that can get the ball and just start that break and get you into your offense, and that leadership, like, being born ready for it, being a guy that, like, you know, there are certain players that got drafted that keep talking about how great they're going to be, you know, and this guy hasn't said a word all summer. He's just been working. But I'm going to definitely go with, like, a Brandon Roy. Athleticism wise, he reminds me of a rookie Joe Johnson. Joe Johnson got shifty in the league. But Brandon Roy, Joe Johnson are my two comparisons.
Like, skill work, like, a lot of skill work. And I won't speak to Joe Johnson, but I know he's far younger than Roy was when Roy came into league. Roy graduated from UW.
Yeah.
So, like, he does have time to, because I'd say at this point, rookie Roy is probably a step quicker and a little bit more explosive. But rookie Roy is also 22 and in his grown man body, much closer to it than Cade is right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I'm not really sure, like, the research on athletes that are vegan. I do know I have friends that are vegan, and it's extremely hard for them to, like, add that protein without, like, stacking and finding solutions. So Cade's actually a big, like, peanut butter and jelly guy, you know, and he's 225, you know, but I will, you know, look at a player like Sadiq Bey. Sadiq Bey, I was talking to his dad at Summer League, and you can noticeably tell that this guy is about 15 to 20 pounds bigger. And, you know, once that body fills out, you know, we don't know what, like, Cade's end goal is going to be.
Yeah. All right. Where are you on Josh Jackson?
Man, I watched Josh Jackson grow up.
I knew that was coming, because that's a Detroit kid through and through. Detroit kid, so I figured this was –
Hey, man, no slander for my 2020 guy, man. I love Josh Jackson game. I was high on him out of Kansas. I was really hoping that he went to Michigan State. I'm a Michigan State basketball fan. I was hoping that he went to State and played. But, you know, there were some things at Kansas that I was, you know, wishing that, you know, it's controversial to say, like, which programs are going to best prepare you for the NBA. You know, I think that State, you know, has its things. Kansas has its things, but he was a little really bit raw coming out.
Kansas really doesn't. Kansas has Joel Embiid, and then, like, a long history of five-star guys going there to die.
Man, let's talk about it, man. Because
really talk about it. Like, Kelly Oubre, five-star guy. He still wound up being a lottery pick, but, like, he wasn't the guy he came in to be. Xavier Henry's another one. Josh Shelby set Summer League on fire. Never heard of him again. Joel Embiid is really the – Joel Embiid is the one. Andrew Wiggins came in as the number one player in the country and just hasn't lived up to it. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen to every elite program. I'm just saying that Kansas's success rate is far lower than the Duke, Kentucky's, and Carolinas of the world, and that's where I believe it sees itself.
Absolutely. If I'm a wing, I'm not going to Kansas. The last Kansas wing that like actually like came through a program and that was Paul Pierce to me. I mean, the Morris twins and stuff like that, I consider them more fours, but I just think the role that like they play in that offense and stuff is not a role where, you know, you get a chance to, you know, it's maybe you're holding the ball in the corner, you get a chance to have an open shot, you're slashing. And that really worked for Josh when he was in college. But, you know, getting to the league and having those issues in Phoenix and stuff, you know, he was drafted number four there and bounced around. And he was one of those guys where the G League did wonders for him. And at home, you know, he shot, you know, I want to say, what I have him shooting at? He shot about 30% from behind the arc, you know, and that, you know, it was a little bit streaky at times, but he did average 13 and a half, you know, four rebounds, 2.3 assists per game.
But he was at a much higher number before he had a bad ankle injury at some point during the season. He was good for like, he might've been at like 20 at home, but like 17, 18 on the road before he had that ankle injury. He was playing really well.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. He is all like a Detroit kid. He's going to defend. You know, that's we got a long list of like just wings that like either got the package like Jalen Rose, Steve Smith, Chris Douglas Roberts, all those players, or just like Manny Harris. Like that's who Josh reminds me of. Reminds me of Manny Harris, just a bigger version. And, you know, having him on that roster and playing at home, you know, he's one of our stoppers. So I do believe that Josh definitely has a pretty good chance of starting this season.
All right. Speaking of starters, who do you think are the projected starters?
Yeah, I'm going to go at five with Kelly Olynyk. I think that he gets to start over Isaiah Stewart to begin the season. I just think that is, you know, you can play Kelly with that second unit, but I think that with him being able to stretch the floor like that, having that experience, being able to rebound the ball, and just being a smart IQ player, I think that he'll give Jeremy Grant a lot of room to operate because although Stewart became a better pick and roll finisher and stuff like that later in the season, he stepped out, he opened up his three, shot it a lot better after All-Star break. It's going to take some time for him to be able to play into that game where he fits Jeremy Grant. I think Kelly does it. So we're going Jeremy Grant at the four, at the three. That's where things get a little tricky because Sadiq Bey is about 6'8". Like, he's really your three or your four, but you can play him at two. Knockdown shooter. So I think you can go a couple ways. You can go Sadiq at three. You can go Josh at three. And then that leads to your two guard where you can go Josh at two, Hami at two, Cade at two. But for this instance, I'm gonna go Hami at two, and then I'm gonna go Cade at one. And then Killian is gonna be that in that second unit.
Okay. I don't know the team as well as you. Just in my mind, I think you go Hayes and Cade together, especially because Hayes was so up and down during his rookie year. I think moving to the bench might feel like a demotion. Yeah. I'm torn between Sadiq Bey and Josh Jackson. I think I'd go Sadiq Bey, just he offers a little bit more shooting.
Yeah.
And then Grant and Olynyk.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I mean, he lost, you know, Killian lost 24 games to that torn labrum, you know, and that's the injury that, you know, he missed the big when he was just starting to get in and work through those growing pains because he was a starter and he was just trying to work through those growing pains. He got snatched away. So, you know, I think that he's whether you stagger them, you know, and you like I do believe you can start him as well. But Killian is going to need to get those reps in and he has a pretty good backup behind him in Saben Lee, who had a really stellar rookie season. I mean, when you talk about what Jerry Stackhouse is doing over at Vanderbilt. Yeah. Man, I got a chance to talk to Jerry in summer league and I'm like, man, like I shook his hand. I'm like, one, you're one of my favorite players growing up. I used to do the little knee squat jump shot. And two, how the hell are you turning out all these prospects at Vanderbilt, man? Like two of my
it's
favorite
an elite
college coaches.
Academic school.
They talk about
Scottie Pippen Jr. Who's the shooter? Aaron Neesmith.
Aaron Nesmith, Kenyon Martin Jr.
And Jerry Stackhouse is the most dapper coach in America. When that dude pops up, his tailor must be like, yeah, I'm him.
Oh, man. He got the best tailor ever, bro. Like, that's – it's crazy because two of my favorite college coaches are Jerry Stackhouse and Penny Hardaway. Like, I'm a big – I'm a huge – Penny, my favorite player of all time. So, you know, and when you talk about, like, Saban and stuff, like, this guy last year was, you know, 5.6, 3.6 rebounds, but he shot 47% from the floor. And he's one of the fastest players on the team. You know,
just a solid player. Like, that's a good NBA player.
Yeah, man. And, you know, one of the things that, like, I love backup point guards. Like, a backup point guard, you know, the players that do, like, your Darren Collisons, your DJ Augustines, your, like, your Ish Smiths. I love those guys. And I think Saban is going to be a player, like, in this league for, like, some years. So he's going to get reps in with the Detroit Crews this season. But then also you got Frank Jackson, 40 games last year, 9.8 rebounds, and he shot 40% from the three-point range, and he's only 23. So we do have some good options at guard.
Nobody's a bigger fan of Frank Jackson than my brother. My brother's a huge Duke fan, and he loves Frank Jackson. All right. Should Detroit move Grant to a contender for young players and picks?
Man, they're going to kill me on Twitter for this, man. But I was in the mindset of doing that 7-10 trade with Golden State. Like, I love Jeremy Grant. You know, you talk about a player who should have been most improved last year based off of what he was doing. Raised his points per game by, like, 11 points plus. Scored a lot more. Like, could you imagine him on that Denver squad now instead of, like, Aaron Gordon? It would be crazy if they gave him that green light. But I do think that, you know, he's going to be a part of those plans, but I don't think a trade out there makes sense. And I wouldn't give him away for just anything. Now, if it's 7-10, you know, you would have got a chance to draft Moody, or I like Kendrick Perkins like to say, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. You know, you look at something like that.
No. Having 1-7-10 in a draft is stuff I do in 2K. Like, too, that, bro. That would have been like, that's, I imagine that's a GM's dream from a roster building standpoint. 1-7-10
all the time. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want it, you know, like I'm a big University of Houston basketball fan, right? So Quentin Grimes is like my guy. I think y'all got a steal in him. I saw him in the summer league. Yeah, no, I wanted to get him or Cam Thomas. I wanted a later pick for that. But you know, I like where we landed, but I still think that you keep Jeremy Grant.
All right. Two more questions. What is a successful season?
A successful season for us. You know, I think at like their ceiling, they can be one of those like bubble teams or pretty damn close to it. I think that like
play-in tournament type team?
Play-in tournament. Yeah, I think 10 is like their max. You know, I think that depending on if Kyrie get that shot or not, I think that it goes through Brooklyn, Milwaukee. I don't know what time it is for Philly. I think Chicago's got better. Miami got better. You know, but I think that 10 spot, I mean, Indiana is going to be on the lower end, a bunch of that. But I think that 10 play-in tournament would be great. If they're in the lottery again, Imani's coming out. You know, I think that's a win for us as well. But I want to see them play basketball.
No. Imani's not eligible this year. Imani's got to do 2 years due to his birthday.
Ah, man.
Even with the reclass, Imani's got to do 2.
Ah, man. Well, that's good because Penny going to let him play point guard. I think that, you know, what looks good for this team is K being at like 18-6-6, rookie of the year. Playing with poise, showing us that he can beat same size defenders off the dribble. I think for Killian, it looks like becoming confident and getting those reps and finding one thing that he does well in the league. I think for Jeremy, it is probably about 24.5 per game and really being that face that, you know, when you play the Pistons, you know that that's their guy. And in the cusp of all-star talks. I think for Isaiah Stewart, it's about reps. It's about getting explosive around the rim, finishing, you know, stepping out, becoming that stretch four. And I think with Casey, it's about building and getting reps in with these guys and building a foundation. You can see the growth in all of these guys in the summer league. And I think they brought damn near their whole squad to summer league. So I think that that's what success looks like for them, you know, but I wouldn't mind being in the lottery and building, because I still think that we are one center away. Like, if there was an Evan Mobley in like this year's draft, could you imagine pairing him on that squad?
All right. So you brought him up, and this is my last question. Is Beef Stew an acceptable nickname?
Oh, 100%, man. 100%. I don't know what they went with this big stew or whatever. No, nah, his name's Beef Stew. K's name is Motor K. No, nah, K's name is, for everybody out here, Motor K is cool. That's Cade Icewood, man. Like, he put the buffs on. Like, they wasn't, they wasn't the top of the top bucks, but like, he gonna get it. Somebody gonna hook my man up with him. He gonna be 7 Mile K in a little bit. Hey man, he gonna be out there, bro. But like, we love to see players that like, you know, embrace playing in Detroit. You know, you can do anything that you want in your offseason, but when you play for the D, we gonna protect you. We gonna hold you down. You know, you gonna rock with us. And you know, outside of rap, which Detroit got the best, we got the best sound right now. Everybody using our flow. You know, you never gonna find a city that go harder for you.
Joan, thank you. Like, I appreciate you pulling up, man. This was so much fun. Give me like 3 commercials you've done that they could go find on YouTube.
Ah, man. Wellness Management Clinic, when I was back and doing my days down in Houston. Ramsey Law Firm, I shot that one during the 2015 March Madness tournament. I got a couple of my boys in that one and stuff right now. And then the third one is like Franklin Barber College. So right now, I'm trying to plug away right now and get better with the copywriting and stuff. But one day, fingers crossed, we will write a spot that will be used by an NBA team.
Yo, once again, thank you for pulling up. Amazing insight. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Shaw's Law Podcast. And like that, we out.